world's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I got a little bit of panic going on around me here. We're doing some resetting here in our multi-million dollar studio. And I got a new computer. And it changes everything that I see on my screen. Actually, the computer doesn't, but the sizing and the shaping and all that. I don't even have a time clock on here. Some of you can't even get in here yet. Some of you, I'm getting my emails blown up, my text messages blown up. Coach, how come I can't get in? Yada, yada, yada. Jared's working on it. Bear with us here a second. We are working on that stuff right now. Hey, today is the kickoff day of Brighteon TV. I'm going to sneeze. I'm sorry. Brighteon TV kicks off today. In fact, Jared, I just got the heads up. Debbie just sent me an email. Said the Bards Fest is going to be live streamed on Brighteon TV. Jared, could you bring up Brighteon TV right now? Are you able to do that through a left curve there? Because it launches today. All the programs, Brighteon TV is launching. You guys know, some of you are familiar with it, some of you aren't. It's going to be another place to go and watch kind of stuff we like to watch with a lot of great speakers. And it launches today. And I'm sorry, here my new computer, trying to figure out where I am. I don't know if we have it up on the screen there or not. We probably don't have it up there. Jared's going to get it up on the screen for us. Friends, listen, I got to remind you of this because I'm going to need your help. I launched my my first Coach Dave live show next Monday at 11. Brighteon itself is launching this morning. It's going to be a channel. It's going to always have good stuff on it. My particular, they're on the screen, the daily schedule. Jared's got it all up there. My program will be at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Is going to be for an hour. We're going to do a really, really unique thing. We're going to take live calls. It's going to be a live call-in show just like we do. So I give some of you a heads up out there that maybe when we launch the first show next Monday, I'll give you some heads up before we get there, that some of you will be some of our first callers. Because it's been my experience in talk radio, which some of you know I did that for a while. It takes somebody to call in for the phones to light up. Everybody's afraid to do it till somebody does it. So maybe some of you guys can lay out in the weeds and we'll get a discussion going and you guys can call in and speak to the world on Brighteon TV. So that's next week. But John Diamond and the boys, they're all launching today. And it is going to be the Bards event is going to be streamed there this weekend. So if you want to watch the Bards Fest, you're going to be able to pick it up right there. Yeah, John Diamond, I see you got your hand up. Come on in, John.
Can you hear me, Coach?
Sort of. Yeah, I hear you. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I'm out here in the country cabin streaming off my cell phone. So, right there's my show, 9 to 10 is America Unhinged Radio. I just saw somebody in the chat said America's lost their mind. And they
John, it's not Unhinged Radio. It's Brighteon TV. It's called America Unhinged Radio. Just clarifying that for the people.
I appreciate that. Yeah, Brighteon TV, my show is called America. I'm going to take radio off of that because when I actually started it with Jared last summer, I wasn't even a part of Brighteon. So I'm just going to take radio off there. It'll just say America Unhinged. That'll be the name of the show. The website will still be America Unhinged Radio.
Good.
Because, the Lord dropped this in our lap. But, I just wanted to appreciate you announcing that this morning, and hopefully everybody will get on and share. You can click through all the days of the week and see all the people that are on there.
Man, there's some heavy hitters here, John.
Yeah, it's absolutely huge.
Thrive Times Three. That's Clay Clark. There's I see Stu Peters. Boy, he's doing some really, really good stuff. That's Sheriff Richard Max on there. Fred Laws of Life. Fred Mosey's going to be on there. Go back to Monday when we launch. Who's on Monday? Can you click on that real quick, Jared? They're past the salt.
Yeah. You got Greg Locke. You got Coach Dave. You got Alan Keyes. You got Stu Peters. I mean, that Monday is a pretty loaded day also. Yeah. No, that's why it looks like Coach locked up on us. But yeah, for those of you who don't know, this is a move of God. And I'm going to tell you why. This didn't even exist 4 months ago. So for this to come together and be the powerhouse that it's going to be in a matter of 4 months is absolutely amazing. So, I mean, there's going to be some working out some things and some tweaking it. I mean, we're all working off a very limited staff because, you know, I mean, the body of Christ doesn't seem to fund things like CNN and Fox does, but we're hoping that'll change a little bit. But yeah, we're going to have, it was basically IMTV, which was Alan Keyes' independent streaming platform, ended up meeting with Clay Clark down in Tulsa, and Bob Denny and Clay Clark came together and just started talking about, you know, where they're going in the future. And they decided to go into partnership on this. And here we are 4 months later, we're getting ready to launch this absolute powerhouse with some of the biggest names in America. It's going to be powerful. So we need to promote this as all the alternate journalism. People need to get off Fox and CNN. You know, I don't care if you go over there just to see what propaganda they're spewing, but that's what you have to understand. That's the only reason I go to Fox and CNN, to see what kind of lies they're telling, because we're going to have to turn around and try to go against those lies and expose the truth. So that's the one of the great things about this whole platform. Did anybody, I don't see Coach on there. I thought I saw a hand raised. Did anybody want to say something?
Yeah, John, I was wondering about the event this weekend's going to live stream. How would we find that on this Bridey on TV?
I think as soon as you go to Bridey on TV, it's going to be there. I don't even think you have to click on anything. That picture that was at the top.
Yeah.
If Jared scrolled all the way back up, that little like TV video, I think that's just going to be feeding. So it doesn't matter. It's like turning on CNN. If you know Sean Hannity's on Fox at 9 o'clock, you turn on Fox at 9 o'clock and there's Sean Hannity. So I think that's the way this is going to work. If you know Coach is on at a certain time, just turn it on and there it'll be streaming.
Oh, okay. Okay. Great. Thank you.
Yeah. Good and job. Now the thing is all this is doing is streaming. We as the hosts are going to have to pull our content off for later. So he will put my show this morning, he will put it in a file. And then I have my own Brideon, which is like YouTube. I have my own Brideon channel. If you go to Brideon and type in America Unhinged, you can see four or five of the shows we've already done just as a test. I will be responsible for putting my own content on my own kind of YouTube channel, Brideon channel, so to speak. So once it's streamed, it's gone unless the host posts it on there.
Okay, so that means that if you do not record it, then... does Brideon record it at all?
Yeah. You can either record it yourself or just wait till the host puts it up. So, for example, my show's 9 to 10 today. At some point, he'll drop that in a folder for me, and it's still my content. I own it 100%. Then it's my responsibility to go ahead and
get it out
and upload it to my own channel. And then if you go to AmericaUnhingedRadio.com, which is my website, or if you go to Brideon and Google or and type in America Unhinged, you can look at that day's show once I posted it. And if you missed any shows, and the coach will be able to do the same thing.
Oh, that's cool. So just another environment to work
Smart
with.
Smart TV.
That yeah, exactly.
Download the channel also.
Hey, John. What's
that? Yes.
I don't know if you heard that. If you have a Smart TV, that's how I did. I downloaded the channel onto my television so you can watch it big screen.
Oh, you're awesome, Tracy. Whoa. All right. Myra, do you have a hand up?
Yes, I do. Congratulations, John Diamond.
Thank you.
I won't be able to watch you today, but whenever I can, I will.
Yeah, well, hopefully I'll be able to put, I already talked to Jared when we were down in Tennessee last week. I'm probably going to put like my first five shows on the website itself. And then everything else you would have to go to Brighteon's channel for. But those first five or six shows that I'm going to do are so very important. Those are going to be the foundational shows for me. So if anybody's new a year from now or 6 months from now, they can watch those five or six shows, understand where we're coming from. And then every show will just kind of, you know, pair it off for that, so to speak.
Okay.
Well, praise the Lord. It's going to work out great.
I think am I live again, Jared? Here's what happened. I got too many things plugged over here. I got to go. I got $1 million studio and $1 outlet, right? So that's what happened. I got it figured out now. Same thing happened last week. Just happened again. So, John, thanks. Brighteon TV, folks. That's one of those places we ought to all try to migrate to, because if we do a good job of migrating to Brighteon TV, then it'll become more and more people, more and more important, we'll reach more and more folks. So thanks for that heads up this morning, John, for coming on and break a leg today on your first show. Our first one will be next weekend, all right? Cool.
Thanks, Coach,
I have a question. What exactly is your show going to be called? What's the name of your show?
Evidently, they called it Pass the Salt. I think that's what it said on it, didn't it? Anybody see that? Coach Dave Live. I think it's Pat. That's crazy, isn't it? Pass the Salt. Yep, Pass the Salt. So we couldn't, whatever. That's what it is.
Hey, Coach, hey. I would recommend, see down there at 4 o'clock, it says On Point with Pastor Greg Locke. I would just get a hold of him and say Pass the Salt with Coach Dave Dobemeyer. That would very clearly spell that out. I'm going to be taking radio off of mine, but we can tweak this however the host wants. So I think that would be a good idea, yes, that if it said Pass the Salt with Coach Dave Dobemeyer.
Or should I call it Coach Dave Alive? What do you think?
I like Pass the Salt with Coach Dave, because that basically covers everything.
Yeah.
But it's your show.
Oh, thanks. All right, John. Thanks, man. Listen. Thanks. Hey, Joe Allen's son Jake went in. I had to go to the emergency room last night. You guys know Joe and Carol Allen, and we just covered prayers for him this morning. Joe texted me that his son tested positive. Whatever that means, right? Whatever that means. So Joe's probably not in here with him to get more of an update about it. So it is what it is. Pray for Jake. If you die before I wake, pray for Jake. I made that up on the fly. Quickly, a couple things. Baptism pictures. Can you pull that up there real quick, Jared? I got to show you this. I got this morning. Thanks for covering that for me there at the beginning. Clay sent me baptism pictures today. If we can. I remember, there it is. There's Jackie Manna. It's me and Hiya Brett with his shirt off. That's Jeremiah. Jeremiah being baptized. Look at him, man. That's awesome. That's Tracy's grandson. Next one, Jared. Whoa, there we are. Myra! Good morning, Saints. There's Clay, Hiya Brett, and me. And Myra, and Shannon. I was going to forget. Shannon. I just met Shannon this weekend. She wanted to be baptized. That water's pretty cold. Look at Clay's face. He's manned up pretty good on it. And, hey, back one more. We baptized Ohio Brett. We don't have a picture of it. Ohio Brett went under the water, too, in new birth. Praise the Lord. He said he'd been sprinkled as a young guy. How many of you out there have just been sprinkled? Maybe we'll have to set up a baptismal here when we do this thing in October. And then the next picture is, that's part of our crew. We're at the top of the Appalachian Trail. That's one of the high ground we got on. There's higher ground than that. But that's just, there's 20 or so of us there that made that journey on that day. And some of them went even farther than that. So I wanted to throw that up there for you real quickly. Folks, I'm really, really pushing sky high hard. October 8, 9, and 10. Jared, pull that up there real quickly if you could, that link. This is sky high, folks. This is sky high. That's from the top. The first picture there that you see is from standing up on the – we didn't have a deck yet, but I was looking out the window, and that's looking down the hill sky high. If you go straight down that hill, you run into where I'm broadcasting from right now. You don't get the drift of how high we are. The next two pictures are the actual house itself. There you can see off to your left there, you can see the deck that we just put on. Jared, I don't know if you can come down. Yeah, you guys can. So that's, yeah, there it is. There's the deck that you walk out on that we were just taking that picture from. That is sky high. Couple pictures inside so you can see what's going on. This is on our Airbnb site, by the way. That's the great room. The one to your right there is the great room. It's huge. It's awesome room. And the one at the bottom as well. The one to the left is like a living room, fireplace, another front deck out to that. And then, Jared, real quickly, just look at that. That's the great room. That's all the great room. It's unbelievable how huge that is. Great gathering get place. Bedrooms, another bedroom, actual toilet. How about that? Bunk beds in another room. Another bed. We sleep a lot of folks there, right? And another bedroom, another bathroom, nook that we drink coffee nook out of, out on a couple of the decks, around the fireplace out back. I got to go mow today. That's it. October. Come on, come with us. October 8, 9, and 10. Just put it on your calendar. We're going to get more details to you. I want 200 people there. I want you folks to, some of you are going to have to come here, I'm telling you. And some of you want to come here already. We're not ready for you yet. We can't do that yet. All right? But we want as many of you to get as you possibly can. That's Saturday the 9th. We're going to start on Friday the 9th and Friday, Saturday, and out Sunday morning. A lot of great stuff going on. Okay, I've already lost a whole bunch of time here before we got into the nitty-gritty stuff. Jared's doing really good. Spencer's off today. See if Joanne's got something she'd like to say. Let's say that before we dive in here, Joanne. Come on in.
Okay, I just checked the address to that. It's brighteon.tv.
Brighteon.tv. Brighteon.
Because TV doesn't work.
Let's do it. Let's do our best to help pump this up. Mike Adams is the one that's behind all this. And John Diamond, let me say this about John. When John Diamond got his foot in at the at Brighteon TV, however that happened with Alan Keyes, when John got his foot in that door, he opened the door. A lot of those guys that you see are having shows. Some of them aren't real famous people. Coach Dave Live, that's not a real famous show. But John opened the door for us to be able to get on there. A lot of them that way. And the guys that are on Brighteon TV are the people who are telling you the truth. And Brighteon's committed to that. So I appreciate that about John. He could have just got himself in the door and shut the door to everybody else. But he got in there and he blocked the door and said, come on in. Come on in. And we have a platform to be able to get the truth out. So. Praise the Lord of that. Yes, Lord. Barge Fest this week. I'm not going to go down through it. Some of you are coming. Now you know you can watch it on Brighteon TV. So you'll be able to see what's going on. We've got a great schedule on there. Here's what am I going to do now? What am I going to do now? Do I want to go there, Lord, or do I want to go there? I want to go there, Lord. We get new listeners, viewers. I don't know what we call ourselves here every day. And people don't really understand what's going on and with this show, yada, yada, yada. And so every once in a while, I feel a need to circle back. Today's one of those circle back days. Circle back days. You know, when Jesus and John the Baptist preached the first sermon, they both preached the same thing. If you look at it, I don't have it up there, Jared. You don't have to pull it up. It's in Matthew. John the Baptist, his first sermon was repent. Does anybody know? Do you know what John the Baptist's first sermon was? Maybe I'll do it that way. No, I'm not going to do that because then everybody wants to get in here. John the Baptist's first sermon was repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Not repent to get your sins forgiven. Not repent to become a Christian. Not repent to get all these wonderful, marvelous benefits that you get from being a Christian. He said, repent for the kingdom of God. There it is. Thanks, Jared. Good work. And in those days, remember, John the Baptist was the forerunner, right? He was the one that came. He was the messenger boy that came through first. And in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Preaching where? Where was he preaching? He's preaching those same places that Jeff Nell goes. Those wilderness places. folks, he wasn't out. Wilderness doesn't mean he was out preaching to the animals. He was out preaching where there was unsophisticated living. Repent in the wilderness of Judea, outside the cities. Repent what? Repent, all of you, and get saved. Then all of you get all of your friends saved. No, no. No, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. All right? Well, what's the kingdom of heaven? You mean go to heaven? You mean he was, John the Baptist showed up and he talked about going to heaven? Is that what he, no, I don't think it was. Because then it seems like maybe just a verse, a chapter later, Jared, I could be wrong. I'm sorry I don't have this prepared. The Holy Spirit's taking me this direction. Jesus shows up and all of a sudden he's led right away into temptation. Do you guys remember that story? Is that Revelation? I'm sorry. Is that Matthew 4? Sam or some of you smart guys, Matthew chapter 4. Jesus is then led into the wilderness. In fact, we talked about that last week, didn't we? About how many of you are led into the wilderness. There it is. So John the Baptist comes through. What does John the Baptist do? He talks about the kingdom of heaven. It's at hand. What does it mean when something's at hand? Well, it means it's imminent, within arm's reach. It's at hand. It's able to be grabbed. It's right here. Hey, when the computer went down, my internet went out, and Jared and I were talking on the phone, and Jared kept saying, well, just give it a minute, it'll pop up. Because why? It was at hand. The internet was at hand. It was already there. I wasn't connected to it. So John the Baptist shows up and says, hey, folks out there, been out in the wilderness talking to everybody. Hey, listen, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And they didn't know what he was talking about. Then Jesus, the next chapter, was led out into the wilderness. Isn't that something? Now, do we think that Jesus went out and just hung out with the animals again? Did he walk around with lions and tigers and bears? Oh, my. Is that what he meant with led out in the wilderness? Or was he led out into a wild area where there were unruly people? And there wasn't a whole lot of law going on. And there was confusion everywhere. And there was LGBTQRSTUVs and all that stuff. He's out in the wilderness, man. He's out there. And while he's out in the wilderness, what's he do? He fasts for 40 days. Not only is he in the wilderness, he says, it's so wicked around here, I ain't going to eat. Why? Because he was trying to strengthen his inner man. And he made it through the 40 days. And afterward, he was hungry. Wow. And then the tempter came to him. He was hungry. And the tempter came and said, you be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And Jesus answers all these challenges of the devil, right? Man shall not live but bread alone, but every word proceeded out of the mouth. And then the devil takes him up to the high city. He said, there, look, you can have all this, man. You can have all this. And Jesus faces that temptation and says, no, wait a minute. Jesus faced that temptation because he'd been fasting in the wilderness in that tough period in his life. He was fasting through it. He was physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually prepared for the assault of the devil. Remember, sometimes the devil doesn't come as a big bad wolf. He comes as an angel of light. Hey, follow me and you can have all this. Hey, follow me and you can have sex with women every night. Follow me and be a rock and roll singer. You can do drugs and have sex with women in your picture. Come on and follow me. And Jesus said, the devil knows the scriptures. The devil says, oh, yeah, if you be the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it's written, he's going to give his angels charge over you. That's Psalm 1. Or isn't that Psalm 91? Give the angels charge over you, guide you in all this. Devil knew scripture. He says, come on, dude. I'm going to throw you down there, and the angels are going to take care of you in their hands, and they're going to bear you up unless at any time you dash your foot against a stone. Michelle, that's right out of Psalm 91. The devil's quoting Psalm 91 to Jesus, right? And Jesus said, it's written again, dude. You ain't supposed to be tempting me. You ain't supposed to be doing that. Stop that, dude. And again, the devil takes him up high, man. He says, look at all this stuff, man. Mountain. Going to give you all the kingdom. All a what? He's going to give you all those Psalm 2 kingdoms, the kings of this world conspiring against the Lord and his anointed. He says, see all of them? See over there, Gates and Fauci and the NIH and Congress. I'll give you all those, dude. You can have all those. All you got to do is just follow me. You know what's happened? A lot of people have had that temptation and they're following him, aren't they? They're following the old devil. They got that high ground. They got that They got the nice cars and the money and the women and all that. All that stuff they offered Jesus. You can add it too. And Jesus said, hey, dude, will you get out of here? Will you get out of here, dude? Because it's written. By the way, how did Jesus fight? The only way we should fight was with the word. He didn't get in a dialogue, didn't get in a discussion, didn't try to reason with him. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall they serve. And the devil said, let's get out of here. Let's get out of here. We ain't going to get anywhere with this boy. And after he did that, the angels came and ministered unto him. You know what I think? I think this was a greater battle than we realize. He was beat up. After Jesus did this battle, which is just really concisely given to us here, Jesus was beat up, man. Devils had to come and, or the angels had to come and minister to him. And when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he walked out of Galilee, went in there, and he said, So, Jared, go to the next chapter, I think it is. Because I want you to see what happens. So, he's made it through the temptation. Now in Matthew 5, no, Jared, I just missed it. Go back at the end of Matthew 4. I got ahead of myself. And it says, and the devil leave him and keep going, go clear on the bottom. And from that time, 17, there it is. And from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, because I want you all to get saved and go to heaven. Is that what he said? I want you all to live godly lives and I want you to lay down your swords against every one another and I want you to not judge people. No. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There's that word again. The internet's at hand. It's imminent. It's right there, ready to be touched and used. That's the kingdom of God. You say, Coach, what is the kingdom of God? Well, it tells us in Romans, I believe it is, that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. And it's available. It's right there. And somehow we've turned the kingdom of God. When Jesus said, go in Matthew, when he said, go ye into all the world and do what? Teach them all I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age, right? Go and teach them. Teach them what? Teach them about the kingdom. Teach them kingdom principles. Folks, this is more. Oh my goodness. Do you guys say the Lord's Prayer? Anybody out there say it every once in a while? Maybe say it. I say it every once in a while. And what does it say? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where, folks? Jesus is praying. They said, Lord, teach us how to pray. He says, okay, what you do, man? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Oh, we don't hallow that name, do we? We don't hallow that name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Where? Right here. Right here. And the only way the Lord's will gets done right here is if we go and teach people to observe it. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. Go teach them to obey all I've commanded you. And we don't. We let the Supreme Court tell us what's right, what's wrong, what's legal, what's not legal. And so the delegated power that was given to us, folks, the kingdom of God is within you. Listen to me. That's not someplace you go. You don't die and go to the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is within. The kingdom of heaven is within us. It is within us. It comes in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's what? What's that word again? It is imminent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus Christ and the angels are imminent. At any time, we can call upon them and they come. That's the power of this kingdom that we're connected to. Because this kingdom has come. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't want to open it up yet, but I can tell Silver's busting to say something. Go ahead, Silver, because I'm going to go one more place with it before I really, really open it up. And I already wasted some time. Go ahead, Joe.
The kingdom of God is both sides. Those who are his and those who are not. It's the whole kingdom. Repent, for the kingdom of God is nigh.
With it, that hand.
You want to go this side?
Just go. Hey, Just log in. Just log in to the kingdom of God. It's already here. Log in. You say, well, coach, I don't have the password. Oh, there you go. You don't have a password, do you? You can't get in the kingdom of God, right? What's the password? Repent. Repent. That's the password. But see, so many of us go through our lives, live in our Christian walk, and we're focusing on other things that really aren't, they're just things in the kingdom. Speaking in tongues, it's just something in the kingdom. You understand that? Healing, it's just something in the kingdom. Forgiveness, it's just things, tools that are in the kingdom. But if you're not in the kingdom, you can't use them. And Jesus said what? Go tell everybody about that kingdom that's come. The kingdom has come. And Jesus hung on the cross, boom. And they crucified him. I'm not a theologian, but I can read. They crucified him, and he said, it is finished. Now, was he talking about his crucifixion? That's what was finished? His crucifixion? All right, boys, that's it. They finally got me. They killed me. It's over. I don't think that's what he was saying, right? But if we don't know what he was, if we don't understand it, we don't know what he was saying. So we got to go to 1 John 3:8. It says, for this purpose, what? Yeah. For this purpose. Boy, Jared's on top of it today. 1 John 3:8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose. Or here's why the Son of God came. That he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus hangs on the cross. What's he say? Boom! That's it, dude. It's finished. What is? Wow, new kingdom's come. It's finished. He destroyed the works of the devil. What's the works of the devil? Death, hell, the grave, disobedience, sin. Hey, Sam, this may be hard. I know you get this. Folks, are you ready? Are you looking at me? My Catholic faith taught me this. My catechism, before they'd let me take my first communion, I had to be able to say this. I sin every day in thought, word, and deed. I have mortal sins and venial sins, right? And it wasn't until I took that wafer that I was cleansed of that sin, right? Can I tell you something? I don't sin every day in thought, word, and deed anymore. I take captive every thought. I still have those carnal thoughts. I still have those carnal ideas, but I take captive that thought. I don't sin every day. Hey, does anybody think I'm crazy? Hey, folks, listen to me. Because I believe the kingdom. And I believe in the kingdom. I don't believe a thought is a sin. Because the enemy's constantly trying to plant thoughts in your brain. Or that carnal man's always attacking you, isn't he? That carnal man's always planting ideas in your brain. So a thought can't possibly be a sin unless you give life to that thought. Thinking about looking at naked women, that's not a sin. But it sure is a warning of a sin. But when you click on that computer, now you've got a sin. So those old Catholic boys, they tried to tell me I sinned every day in thought, word, and deed. And the reason they told me that is because they didn't tell me I had the ability to avoid sin. They didn't tell me there was a kingdom. They didn't tell me I was connected to the kingdom. They didn't tell me the power of the kingdom was imminent, that I could reach out at any time and say no to the sin. The same thing that happened to Jesus Christ when the devil came and they took Jesus up there and they showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And can you imagine Jesus seeing the glitter of Las Vegas and Hollywood and Paris? They said, dude, just you can own all this stuff. Can you imagine that spiritual fight inside of him? Right? And why didn't he? Because he, just like us, had to say, no, get out of here. No, I'm going to follow the Lord. And what happened? Boom, the kingdom came. And he's able to say no to it. If you sin every day in thought, word, and deed, then you better check yourself. You shouldn't be. You shouldn't be. But if you do, the Bible says we have an advocate. We have somebody we can turn to, we can go to. Hang on, I know some of you want to get in here. I'm not done yet. So Jesus hangs on that cross. He says, what? For this purpose. Jesus said, it is finished. What is? That old devil being in charge thing's finished. Satan's the prince of the power of the air, folks, but he doesn't own this world anymore. He doesn't own it anymore. Christ took it back. He took it back. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done where? On earth. What? You tell me that Jesus Christ's prayer wasn't sufficient? Would Jesus Christ teach us to pray something that he or we couldn't do? Teach us to pray. Okay, our Father art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. First thing he said, thy kingdom come. He hangs on the cross. What's he say? It's finished. It came. Now, wait a minute. Because a little bit later on, when Jesus is resurrected and he's walking for, what was it, 40 days, he hung around with the folks down there in Galilee, wherever it was, Jerusalem, Galilee. He, 40 days. And then all of a sudden he gathers all the boys together. And what's he say? He say, hey, boys, I'm leaving. I'm out of here. They said, no, don't go. Don't go. Well, he said, I don't really want to go, but he said, it's expedient that I go away. Because he said, if I go away, I'm going to send the computer app. I'm going to send that spiritual download called the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to get out of here, and I'm going to connect you to God's internet, and that Holy Spirit who was beside you is now going to be in you. And I got to leave, because if I don't leave, that Holy Spirit thing can't come. And once that Holy Spirit thing comes, dudes, you're connected. You got a password into a new and everlasting covenant and kingdom. Wow. Say, Coach, I ain't never heard anything like this. It's so simple, isn't it? And we don't understand that even the good old U.S. of A. Folks, listen to me. America doesn't belong to the devil. America does not belong to the devil. This is one nation under God. This nation, hey, Russia belongs to God. China belongs to God. Even though they don't acknowledge him, the kingdom is available to them. They just resist it and close the door and lock the door and lie, 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 lie. Don't let anybody hear anything about the kingdom. They don't want to believe in the kingdom. And you go to Harvard University and they train teachers to make sure, don't mention God or lie, 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 creationism. Let's talk about evolution. Don't make God think, lie, 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 lie. And so what happens? They infiltrate our schools. They take over our schools. They train a whole generation of kids in ungodliness. Why? I thought the kingdom was here. What is? The kingdom is here. But we got to go and teach it. Instead, we just run around, get people saved, and put them in the back of a wagon, like a big old farm wagon, and drive them around, dump them off at the beach, and go get another load. No discipleship. There's no training. There's no ability to be able to understand how to exercise this computer app. Jared is remarkable on the computer. I can't do anything on it. Jared has got a direct download from God on the internet. But I have a direct download to Jared from it. That's the body we talked about. Oh, man. Are you with me? Is this making sense to you out there? Folks, this isn't about getting saved. What does that mean to get saved? Saved to what or from what? Say, brother, you want to get saved? Say, what, am I drowning? What are you talking about? I don't want to get saved. Well, they are, but they don't understand it. Why? Because the Bible says that the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit. Jeff Nell gets all upset, gets all frustrated when he goes to city council. They don't listen to him. Why would you get upset, Jeff? The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit. The natural man ain't plugged into the kingdom. He can't understand kingdom language. He can't understand kingdom. Jeff, the Bible says not only don't they can't understand it. They're not logged in. They can't get it. And because we don't understand this, we go out and get people saved, and they're about as my buddy Flip Benham would say, they're about as saved as a poached egg. Because they don't have any idea what they just logged into. They have no idea. No idea how to use it. No idea how to do anything with it. And so they go to church every week and have Jared stand in the pulpit. Because Jared understands partially how this thing works. And Jared tells them how it works, but they never teach them how it works. Never teach them how to use their computer. Never teach them how to use the giftings, all the different apps, all the different programs. We don't know how to do it. Oh, yeah, there's programs. Oh, there's a healing program. There's a prophetic program. And oh, there's a speaking in tongues program. All kinds of programs on this new computer app. We just don't have any idea how to do it. So they lock into a denomination, and they say in your denomination, we don't use that app. We've heard that app's there, but we don't believe in that app. And we know that some people believe, but we don't believe that. Folks, that's religion. Jesus got mad because he says you teach his commandments and doctrines of men, and you're making the word of God ineffective. He said, I sent my son down there. I brought my kingdom down to you, and you dudes don't have any idea what's going on because you're teaching his commandments and doctrines of men, making the word of God. Okay. That was quite a rant. Daniel, come on in. Daniel, then Chad, then Tony. Come on in.
Good morning. Coach, you said it right at the beginning of the show, on earth as it is in heaven. It doesn't say on earth as it is in hell. That's the trick from the devil. You understand, guys?
Danny, well said, man. Well said.
Turn it upside down. Turn everything right side up. That's it. We win.
All power.
Boom.
All power has been given unto me. Folks, think about that. What power? Think about a computer. Think about a Holy Spirit full of power. Think about that coming in to the world. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is within you. Think that you've got the greatest computer software ever in you called the Holy Spirit. And nobody ever told you that you could use it. Nobody ever told you that. They just said, oh, well, it came with it. That program came with the computer. Well, what do you do with it? Well, we don't believe in that here. If you want to exercise that program, well, you need to go over to some other church. They believe in it over there. We don't know how to work that program here. Well, this is good. This is straight from the throne room, baby. Come on in, Chad.
Well, I was sitting here thinking about when you're talking about when Jesus was resurrected. Now, you know, they hunted for him. They came for him the first time. Okay, when they hung him on the cross, they came and to persecute him and all that. When he was resurrected, why didn't they come back and find him again? No one stepped to him on the second time when he was resurrected. Not one. They used to try to rearrest him or crucify him. As far as I can tell, right? So I thought that was, I don't know why, that hit me today. Uh-huh. Why didn't, they knew he was out there because he had at least 500 people saw him, right?
So, because it's like Facebook. They didn't want everybody to know he's still around, so they banned him. They banned Jesus. They didn't even want to go there, right? Good point, Chad. Why didn't you come and get him, huh? Because the kingdom of God's within you now. So then you come on in, Tony.
Hey, Coach, I want to comment. You're talking about sinful thoughts. The Bible says not to be ignorant of the devil's devices, and one of them is to put a sinful thought in your mind and then try to convince you it came from you so that you'll have guilt and it'll step back you from being the warrior you should be. When I get something like that coming, I recognize it and as not my will. If it's not my will to think that way, then it's not really my thought. I don't own it. And after a while of doing that, the enemy gives up and tries something else.
That's right. And so Tony, so we don't know the weapons of our warfare, do we?
No. Nope.
Because the weapons of our warfare aren't carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling all that stuff down. The devil can't get away with that. You know why he gets away with it? Because you don't know you got the software to stop it. You don't know you have the ability. Friends, listen to me. Let me set some of you free today. Thoughts are not sins. Thoughts are not sins. Martin Luther said that you cannot prevent the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from building a nest in your hair. So a thought is a thought. A sin is not a sin until you put action to it. Jesus said, I know Jesus said you've sinned when you've lusted in your heart, but not really. To lust in your heart means you actually logged on to the computer. That's what I think. When you take it into, Hank, who's up here? Dale, come on in, Larry.
Oh my gosh, Coach. Oh my gosh. Get your scuba gear on and entertain me for a moment. We want the perks of the kingdom, but we don't want the person of the kingdom, because if we get the person of the kingdom, we don't like where he's about to bring us. You were talking about Jesus in the desert. Just entertain me. You're the one that coined the phrase, words have meanings. They're important. In the garden, the first Adam, which is the paradise, he falls, he's out. Where does Jesus begin the redemption? The second Adam, where did he begin it? In a desert place, because the devil came in and destroyed this place. Now, here is the scripture in Luke chapter 19, words have meanings. Remember, we got to go out and get them saved. We got to get these people saved. Luke chapter 19, right? Verse 10. And Jesus is dealing with Zacchaeus, and he says this. He says, for the Son of Man has come to save. Does it say them in the King James?
Does it?
Okay. That is a person, place, or a thing. Is it a person? No. Is it a place? No. Is it a thing? Yes. What is that thing? We want the perks of the kingdom. We don't want the person of the kingdom. The fact of the matter is that if you want what God really has, you're going to have to walk with him. You're going to have to fellowship with him. And when he died on the cross, what did that thief say? Remember me when you come in your father's kingdom. Because, see, he wants the perks of the kingdom. Jesus said, truly, you'll be with me in paradise. He didn't say kingdom. What was paradise? It was a place where God walked and had fellowship with man. Man don't want fellowship with God. They just want the perks of God.
Amen on that one. Kingdom of God is at hand, right? It's at hand. It's imminent. It's right here. It's right now. Come on in, Larry.
Hey, thank you. Yeah, you know, we were talking earlier about the prayer that some people call the Lord's Prayer, but I call it the disciples' prayer, because he taught us to pray that. His prayer is John 17. Now, something that is pervasive in both of those prayers, the disciples' prayer and the prayer that Jesus prayed, his prayer in John 17, is that they are inclusive. They are third person, and us, we, our. There's no second person about praying. Jesus was very simple. In his prayer, he started off the first few verses, first eight verses, and he gives background. Now, why would Jesus need to give background information? Does he think God didn't know what he had done? Did he think that God didn't know the actions that he had taken during his walk on the earth? No, he was praying this prayer out loud so that his disciples would hear it, so they would record it, so we would be able to know what Jesus' heart was toward the Father. And after that background information, it's very simple. Jesus only prayed for three things, or three groups, or three peoples, or whatever. And in verse 9, says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world. The them he's speaking of is the one that he talked about in the background. And then in verse 15, he says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the world. Here again, he's praying for them, the ones that have to do with the background. Then in verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them which shall believe on through their word. So he's praying for those who believe from the word that those verses. But it's a collective thing. It's a unity thing. It's not an individual
It's a kingdom thing, Larry. It's a kingdom thing, man.
It's not a perks thing. You know, if your prayer life is this, me, you know, give this to me, do this for me, do that for me, you know, I'm sorry. You're out of step. Jesus's plan was for us, not individual me.
Amen. Come on in, Reggie.
Good morning. Pastor Dale, he's got words have meaning. And make this really quick. One of my pet peeves is when Christians say, well, this is the earth of Lucifer. People don't understand. If you go through the entire Bible, God was constantly reminding us that this is our dominion. Yes, we're made for heaven with him, but Christians give so much power over to Lucifer by saying
he doesn't own anything. The devil doesn't own anything other than what you give him.
It's ours. We need to reclaim it and tell them, no, we have that power through Christ. Stop giving it over to them.
is Joe Biden the lawful president? No, we gave it to him. We won't even go take it back, right? Come on in, Paul. Job Silver, get ready. I'm going to have you read something. Get ready, Silver. I'm going to have you read something. Jared, get that Kingdom of God thing, Ligonier. Get that up there for me. Come on in there, Paul. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, Coach, you know, you're talking about thoughts a while back. Isn't that what they're trying to do now, is condemn you by your thoughts?
Yes, sir. Yep, you know, yep, yep.
So.
Amen, buddy. Amen.
So I would bring that.
Thanks, Jack.
Yeah, Coach, we conflate so many concepts. I talk to people all the time, and they say, well, I thought this. No. You really didn't think. You had a thought. Having a thought and thinking are totally different. They're totally different. I thought I saw a putty tap, but I didn't. But I really thought about what I'm going to do when I get my hands on that cat. huge difference.
Huge difference. Okay, so this, listen, God, we're about out of time here. What is the kingdom of God? R.C. Sproul, I'm not going to get into theology, whether I agree with all his theology or anything, but he does a really good job here. Silver, would you just read this for us, if you could, real quick, Joe?
Okay, Coach. Suppose someone asked you that question, what is the kingdom of God? How would you respond? The easy answer would be to note that a kingdom is that territory over which a king reigns. Since we understand that God is the creator of all things, the extent of his realm must be the whole world. Manifestly, then, the kingdom of God is wherever God reigns, and since he reigns everywhere, the kingdom of God is everywhere. But I think my pastor was getting at something else. Certainly, the New Testament gets at something else. When we see this, when John the Baptist comes out of the wilderness with his urgent announcement, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. We see it again when Jesus appears on the scene with the same pronouncement. If the kingdom of God consists of all the universe over which God reigns, why would anyone announce that the kingdom of God was near or about to come to pass? Obviously, John the Baptist and Jesus meant something more about this concept of the kingdom of God.
Well, folks, you understand this isn't a worldly kingdom, right? It's not a worldly kingdom. Yeah, hey, hang on, just stay with me a second. Jesus is Lord in my heart. But I know a lot of people whose heart he isn't Lord. Now, he's over it all, but he ain't Lord of all. Go ahead.
At the heart of this theme is the idea of God's messianic kingdom. It is a kingdom that will be ruled by God's appointed Messiah, who will be not just the redeemer of his people, but their king.
Yes.
So when John speaks of the radical nearness of this breakthrough, the intrusion of the kingdom of God, he's speaking of this kingdom of the Messiah. At the end of Jesus's life, just as he was about to depart from this earth, his disciples had the opportunity to ask him one last question. They asked, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? From Acts 1 verse 6. I can easily imagine that Jesus might have been somewhat frustrated by this question. I would have expected him to say, how many times do I have to tell you? I'm not going to restore the kingdom to Israel. But that's not what he said. He gave a patient and gentle answer. He said, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power.
Wow.
The Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. From Acts 1, verses 7 and 8. What did he mean? What was he getting at? When Jesus told Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world, was he indicating that his kingdom was something spiritual that takes place in our heart? Or was he speaking of something else? The whole Old Testament calls attention not to a kingdom that would simply appear in people's hearts, but to a kingdom that would break through into this world, a kingdom that would be ruled by God's anointed Messiah. For this reason, during his earthly ministry, Jesus made comments such as, If I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. From Luke 11:20. Similarly, when Jesus sent out 70 disciples on a preaching mission, he instructed them to tell impotent cities that the kingdom of God has come near you.
There it is again. You can log on to it.
How could the kingdom be upon the people or near them? The kingdom of God was near to them because the king of the kingdom was there.
Wow.
When he came, Jesus inaugurated God's kingdom. He didn't consummate it, but he started it. And when he ascended into heaven, he went there for his coronation, for his investiture as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So Jesus' kingship is not something that remains in the future. Christ is king right this minute. He is in the seat of the highest cosmic authority. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to God's anointed Son. See Matthew 28:18.
Okay, you can stop right there, Joe. So there it is, folks. He's King of Kings now. The devil does not rule and reign, folks. Folks, that's the greatest, well, that's one of the greatest lies they've convinced us in the church, is that the devil rules and reigns. The Bible calls him the prince of the power of the air. By the way, not the king of the air. He's the prince. Even the devil, even the prince is subject to the king. And they've been teaching us in churches, I'm not of this world. Oh, I'm just passing through this world. That's true. But if you're born again, you're already in a new kingdom. You're already in the kingdom. Folks, death is going to be nothing more than from you leaving this physical body and ascending into that kingdom that's already there. They tell us, and I think it's Corinthians or Romans, it's not meat, it's not drink, it's not food, it's not stuff, it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, because he is the connector. He, the Holy Ghost, is the plug-in to the kingdom. And if people don't have the plug into the kingdom, none of this is going to make sense. And here's the sad thing. Some of you right now are scratching your head and saying, man, I ain't never heard this. I've been in church my whole life, and I ain't never heard this. Sam, I'm feeling you busting to say something. Go ahead, man.
I've been hanging back, but let's go. St. Luke 17, 20, 21, you brought this up, Coach. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. This wow. is the veil. This is the kingdom is invisible. It does not come with observation. But there are ways that we can take hold of it. And these are the disciplines. And this is what is lost in the church. I was telling before you opened, Coach, about who did coach me, and that it was Black Africans and barefooted Mexicans. I never saw a miracle in the Christian university, and I never saw somebody get healed. But there are disciplines that we can take hold of the kingdom of God and pull down. You give them to eat. You do not need to send them away. You give them to eat. We can reach into the invisible kingdom and pull things out because it's within us.
I thank God for the overload on my internet shutting down, because the Lord shifted the whole program based on the fact that I was no longer connected to the power. And the sad part of it is, most of the people that you come in contact daily who call themselves Christian don't have any idea what the power. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. And what it says? Oh my goodness, folks, grab a hold of the kingdom. It's within you. It's available. It's imminent. See you tomorrow.